Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Good evening and welcome to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Keith Henry. Thank you for tuning in to our Sunday edition of Blue Zone Wellness, where we discuss and analyze the week and natural news. As we start to do on Sunday, myself and Dr. Morgan will come and he will call in, and he and I will discuss some of the natural news and alternative news that has come out this week in the natural news media. And we actually have some very interesting articles to talk about and discuss today. Dr. Morgan has made known to me that he came across a couple of articles that he wanted to bring up and discuss and talk about. I also found about three articles, one specifically dealing with amphetamine drugs and their link to Parkinson's disease. Another one I liked was one on naturalnews.com that spoke about 75% of prostate cancer cases treated with aggressive drugs and surgery, even when there's no need to do so. And, of course, one that's near and dear to our heart. A new study says that plant-based foods help prevent cancer. And that's something that we've talked about, the benefits of a vegetarian/vegan diet. There's just so many articles that we could look at, talk about, and discuss that, of course, we won't have time to do in just an hour. But we think that you will benefit greatly from the discussion of these articles and even finding out much of the information in these articles, which is crucial. Thank you again for joining us. We'll be right back after this brief message.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Welcome back, and thank you again for joining us. This is your host, Keith Henry, with Blue Zone Wellness, and I see that Dr. Morgan has called in. Give me just a second as we chime him in here. Dr. Morgan, are you there?
Oh, yes, Dr. Henry. How are you today?
I am doing good. And yourself?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I hope you had a wonderful day so far.
I have, and my listeners are here, and we've been eagerly awaiting your arrival. I'm glad that you're here, and we just got back from a quick break, and I've been discussing with the listeners that we had a few articles that we want to discuss today that you mentioned to me earlier, that you had a couple of articles that you had also come across that you thought was good to talk about with regard to analysis and discussion. Also, before we get started here, I'd like to give the call-in number for those who may want to call in with a question or who may want to call in with a comment. The number is 917-889-9898. 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. Also, if you would, we know many people don't like to call in, they're embarrassed or whatever. So if you are, just go to blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. That's blogtalkradio.com. I'm sorry, blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. And you can also send me a chat and a question or a comment, and we'll see if we can answer it or speak to that issue, whatever the case might be. Dr. Morgan, I'll tell you how we can do this. Is, you know, I think you told me you had two articles, was it?
Two articles that I think that might be of great interest to our listeners.
Okay, I tell you what. Why not? You present one, and then I present one, and you present the second, and I present another one.
That's fine.
The floor is yours. Go ahead.
Okay, Dr. Henry and listeners, one of the articles I came across this weekend really caused me a lot of concerns, because not that I'm not aware of this, but I'm saying most people are not aware of that something like this is so rampant. And it was an article published in the Los Angeles Times, and there were a few other papers that it came out in, and it says research published this week in Health Affairs found that as many as one in three admissions have some kind of injury because of medical error. And I think that is serious.
It is.
Yeah, and Dr. Henry, you and I have done presentations in the past where we've outlined the fact that roughly 225 deaths occur in hospitals each year. I mean, at something close to, well, by now it would be at least close to 250,000, because the report that we read was done years ago, I think something like 1999. And so if during that time they've had roughly 225,000 deaths each year, and we have more people going into the hospital each year, I think it's quite safe to say that at least 250,000 die each year from errors or infections that they acquire while undergoing an hospital admission.
That's true. You know, I think we've talked about, as you mentioned before, where sometimes the hospital is indeed one of the most dangerous places that you can go. And granted, you know, hospitals are, as we've talked about before, they have great benefits, especially when you are injured in a car accident or some traumatic injury. But even in those cases, you know, there's still issues with infections, as you pointed out, and deaths. And, you know, it's quite a few people die who I've known of people who've gone to hospitals with simple tests or whatnot, or something very, very simple. And they come back with some disease or some abnormality, or sometimes they don't come back at all.
That is true. I tell you. Way back when I lived in Chicago, one of the most horrifying experiences I had was to visit a hospital where this lady went to do thyroid surgery. You know, and she was having some form of goiter problem. And she attended a church that I was a member of. She was not really a member there, but she attended there. And so when we heard that she was in the hospital, we went to visit her. And sad to say, she was paralyzed from her shoulder down because of the surgery that they did on her. Whatever went bad, we don't know, but she didn't leave that hospital the way she went in the sense of being able to walk out of that hospital as she walked in. And nobody was saying anything. As a matter of fact, they tore down that hospital eventually because there were so many. It was notoriously known for malpractices, and eventually they tore it down and put up a condominium.
Wow. You know, I guess maybe the condominium was far more beneficial than what they were doing there.
Exactly, to the community than the hospital. I know, granted, we're not here ranting against hospitals. What I'm saying personally is that as those of us, as people who need from time to time when to have medical services provided as the situation arises, we need to bear in mind certain things that we can do, Dr. Henry, to lessen our chance of being a victim of what we're talking about here. Well, some of the things we can do is ask questions if we are confused or concerned about something. In other words, don't be afraid to ask our doctor something. Right? Don't believe because, well, he's a doctor, you know, he or she's a doctor, they know it all. We as doctors know very little in comparison to what is to be known out there. Another thing we can do is bring a friend or relative along to help us ask questions. Because, you know, if we are, especially if we're very sick, many a times things might eclipse, you know, our mind. We might need to really ask something we had planned from home, but being under the pressure of the sickness, you know, stress and so on, we might forget one or two very important questions. So it's always good to bring a friend. And also, we can write questions down. Nothing wrong, you know,
that's
to
true.
Write something down. Do you
that's
have any
true.
Suggestion, additional suggestion, Dr. Henry?
I think just to add to what you were mentioning, it's very important not to look upon our doctors as gods or those who are infallible. And this is, you know, many times people go into these situations and they look upon their doctors as if he was the receptor of all knowledge that is known or to be known. And that's simply not the case. The doctor is a human being. He's subject to make mistakes. And those mistakes, however, have greater consequences when you're dealing with drugs or surgery than when you're dealing with natural remedies or herbs or whatever the case may be. And in most cases, those mistakes can cost you your life when we're dealing with drugs or, you know. And another thing too is, as Dr. Morgan just mentioned, it's very important to be knowledgeable and take someone with you. Take someone to write down questions you may have before you go there. Do some research on the internet or with people who may be knowledgeable in this area, and find out as much as you can. I know a lady who had cancer, and her and her daughter came to me to ask. They'd actually already gone to an allopathic doctor, and of course, as you know, as the case is in most of these cases, she had leukemia. And, you know, it was an advanced stage leukemia at this point. And, you know, they wanted to put her on chemotherapy right away. They said, look, you know, this is your only, you know, chance of survival. And so the lady, of course, because she was more interested in natural remedies, she wanted to hold off. And so they contacted me, you know, to ask me some questions about or any natural therapies and as opposed to the chemotherapy. And I said, look, you know, because, you know, the doctor was putting the fear of God in them, basically. And I said, look, this is what you should do with regard to this cancer. Ask your doctor simply to provide you with information, scientifically backed information, that proves, not conjecture, not opinion, you're not really interested in his or her opinion when it comes to this, but you want hard facts. I said, ask him to provide you with the scientific studies that prove, that show, that you will indeed live longer if you take this chemotherapy as opposed to if you do not. Not only that, ask him about the quality of life. Because the fact of the matter is that if you look at the actual studies, the majority of the studies show that 99% of the time, people who have chosen to do nothing, people who have even chosen not to even go the natural way, have lived longer if they do nothing, if they do not take the chemotherapy, than those who have taken the chemotherapy. Not only that, they typically, almost always, have a better quality of life.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's, and so, you know, when people consider these things, you have to also consider the quality of life. For instance, like we were talking about, you know, going into hospitals, sometimes for something that's relatively minor, and like you said, the lady had the surgery, and now she's paralyzed.
You know, Dr. Henry, a goiter problem, I'd rather live with a goiter problem than to be paralyzed from my neck down. But, you know, as you mentioned about medication, one of the advice we can give our listeners and for them to pass it on to friends, relatives, co-workers is that if you're going to, you know, there are times when we definitely have to go to the doctor, you know, and that can be necessary so many times. But if you're on medication, at least bring a list or the actual medication to the doctor's office, right, or to the hospital, because many a times they don't know what the patient is really taking, especially when the patient is going to 3-4 different doctors.
That's right? True.
So, and then the interaction, the adverse interaction of certain medication can cause death. Right. So it's always good to let your doctor know what you're taking, especially as it concerns medication. Another thing is to ask doctors to wash their hands, or any medical worker. We sometimes feel that, well, doctors know that, and, you know, since it's a standard thing for us, I know for myself, whenever I go out and come through the door, one of the first things I do is head towards the bathroom, right, and wash my
right.
hands. You know, right. We think that that's a standard thing for doctors to do. I never forget when years ago I read that the first doctor that suggested that his fellow doctors wash their hands to stem infant mortality rate in Europe, he was fired. He was hounded out of medicine.
That's true.
His credentials were taken away, right? That man died of a broken heart. Stress killed him because he knew he was advising the right thing. Now, today, we think, well, that since it's something that all doctors know or should know, then it's quite, they have that under control, and they do that. If you work in a doctor's office, many a times you'll be shocked to see a doctor attend to a patient and does not wash his or her hand and goes to another patient. And I'm talking about in cases where there are infectious diseases. So don't be too shy, you know, to say, well, ask the doctor, well, have you washed your hands? Because by being too shy, you could be signing your death certificate that way.
That's so true. And, you know, if we're, you know, many times we are bold in other areas, and many times because we are intimidated by the learning or the position of the doctor or whatnot, as we said earlier, we're too shy to ask these questions, too shy to, you know, maybe even we're afraid that the doctor may seem that we're challenging him or her. And, you know, all of that really is irrelevant if you're dead, and so it's definitely better to, you know, go ahead and ask these questions, be an informed consumer. Now, if you're listening in and you would like to call in, the call in number is 917-889-2207. That's 889-2207. I see a couple of people are on chat. If you would like to send in a question or a comment, feel free to do so. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back after this quick message.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches, and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness again. This is Keith Henry. Also hosting this evening with me is Dr. Orette Morgan. This is our Sunday evening edition where we look at some of the news articles and some of the things that have come out in the news in the past week. And the first topic we talked about was Dr. Morgan was talking about an article that he had come across talking about the number of infectious diseases and deaths, et cetera, that are happening in our hospitals. And this is a very serious issue, and we thought that it would be good and beneficial for you to hear about this and become knowledgeable, because once you become knowledgeable about these things, you can begin to understand what questions to ask and what precautions to take. Now, Dr. Morgan, I came across an article, and it's something that is near and dear to our hearts. We've talked about this before, and this is an article that was published just on April the 9th, yesterday, and it's entitled, "A New Study Says Plant-Based Foods Help Prevent Cancer." Now, this is something that, of course, is not new to those who listen frequently. It's not new to those who are very familiar with the benefits of a natural diet, especially of fresh fruits and vegetables. And this article started off by saying researchers from the University of Minnesota Hormel Institute now admit that plant-based foods are highly beneficial in helping to prevent cancer, particularly among those who have the highest risk of developing disease. Published in the journal Nature Reviews Cancer, their study says that plant phytochemicals, which include powerful nutrients and antioxidants like selenium, resveratrol, beta-carotene, and lycopene, are a viable option in cancer prevention. Now, I'll stop right there, and I'm thinking, now this is from the University of Minnesota, and they're basically admitting now things that natural practitioners, for instance, one of the things that they mentioned in the article was selenium. They mentioned resveratrol. They mentioned beta-carotene and lycopene. And it's interesting how, and Dr. Morgan, I'm sure that you're aware of this, they're talking about prevention, but we know that the same things that will keep you healthy will also make you well.
And, that's true.
And so, like beta-carotene, in almost any cancer case, with a few exceptions, most cancer practitioners, most successful cancer clinics in the world, you will always see a regimen of some type dealing with carrot juice, which is high in beta-carotene, correct?
Oh, you're perfectly right. But, Dr. Henry, something that also is more effective, especially when it comes to prostate cancer, than the beta-carotene from the carrot or from other vegetables is the lycopene.
That's true.
Yes, the lycopene, which is fruits like watermelon, strawberry. There are a few more there. Tomato has a lot in it too. Right, certain guavas has it there, but it is extremely good. But thinking about that, I don't think sometimes we as the public, think, you and I think about certain things and try to use what I would say common sense. And why I say that? Because somebody goes to school and have 8 years of study in a field or whatever, it doesn't necessarily mean that what they are taught is in our best interest. Because what we have to remember is that these schools get a lot of funding from different industries or organizations. And I am not going to scratch your back without 9 out of 10 cases without wanting you to return me a favor. Now, one of the biggest funder of the medical schools is the drug industry.
That's true.
And why I'm saying that is if they, since they fund these medical schools, you know, so how they are looking for something in return. No, it shouldn't take a rocket scientist to figure out the fact that, right, if you use a bucket with dirty water and dirty mop, right, you cannot get a room, a floor as clean as a person who uses a clean bucket of water and a clean mop. Why do I make that comparison? I liken the dirty water and the dirty mop to animal products. Every animal product, Dr. Henry, you and I know that, and we've discussed it several times, come loaded with cancer cells. Sir Harold Burnett, who got a Nobel Prize in medicine, was able to discover that our bodies produce thousands of cancer cells every day. Now, if we are so hygienic, as I said in the past, and our bodies produce so much cancer cells, just imagine the bodies of the chicken, the cows, and these other animals. And yet that's what we use for food. So wouldn't it be more likely for those who eat an animal-based diet will be 10 times more likely to have cancer because they are loading their bodies with cancer than those who eat a plant-based diet? Plant-based foods do not have cancer cells in them.
That's true. And you know, something else to add to that is we don't, when we eat a plant-based diet, we're not eating cholesterol.
Exactly.
And when we eat animals or animal-based foods, you know, we know that there's a good cholesterol and the bad cholesterol, the HDL
right.
and the LDL. And, you know, the body can produce the good cholesterol when we eat healthy foods and, you know, we exercise and do all of those things that we know we should do. But many people end up with problems with cholesterol issues and diabetes and a lot of other issues. And think about it. If you stay on a plant-based diet, the likelihood that you will have cholesterol problems, the probability is probably close to zero. If
yeah.
you're doing those other things, if you're exercising,
right.
drinking plenty of water, you know, the whole
not
gamut.
Getting
but,
stressed out. Mm-hmm.
Right, not getting stressed out, that's true. And so and this article went on to point out as well that now they're coming in doing something that natural practitioners have been doing all along and have been arguing all along. But as you said before, because they have these big pharmaceutical companies, many of these universities and schools have these big pharmaceutical companies that are backing them. And as you said before, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And, you know, so now you have, but now in this study, one of the authors of the study, he says that now since this study has come out, or is really one of many, now they're finally, he's saying, quote, we would like to use target therapies for prevention of human cancer. We have identified many problem targets that can be used to develop more effective cancer preventative agents. Now, it's interesting that now, but usually what they do is, instead of using the fruit or vegetable or herb in its whole state, usually what they would do is they will go in and find what they have identified as being the active agents. And I'm kind of, this article, I'm thinking that they're trying to look at doing that. But and extracting those active agents that they've deemed active and then putting them into some form of a pill and altering it to so that they can patent it and make money. The problem with that is that we really can't beat what the Creator has already given us.
That's so true.
And as he said, it's interesting that at least they're admitting in this article that the phytochemicals in these fresh fruits and vegetables are actually, they do now actually have the ability to prevent cancer and other diseases. So here we have now, but you know, before the argument was, No foods can prevent cancer. Oh, you know, nothing, that doesn't work. But now they're being forced by the weight of evidence to admit it. And finally, at the end of this article, he mentions that they identified a chemical in green onions called maricitin. And they said that the researchers identified this chemical. It was also previously identified in a 2007 study published in the American Journal of Epidemiology as a powerful anti-cancer nutrient. And so now here we go again, and they're finding out, here we have something as simple as a green onion. And now they're finding out that it has constituents in it that make it a powerful, powerful anti-cancer food. And so here again, you know, we have, you know, articles that are coming out, and you don't often hear these things in the media. You begin to hear them more and more sometimes, but you almost never hear that an onion, a green onion, contains a powerful punch against cancer.
You're also right, Dr. Henry, because listening to you and analyzing what you're saying, my mind you know, went to the fact that when we think about breast cancer, we know for many causes, one of the main causes for breast cancer is a buildup of estrogen in a woman's breast.
Right.
You know, there are other reasons, but we know that's one of the main causes. Now, we know that they grow the chickens and the cows, and they use a lot of hormones, including estrogen, for the dairy cows to produce milk. Let's just deal with milk for dairy as an example. Many a times we hear that in order for we Americans or we the public to get sufficient calcium, we need to drink milk. Now, we drink the most milk in the world, we Americans, and yet we have the highest case of osteoporosis. So something is wrong with that admonition or advice for us to drink milk. But let's move on with that. So here we drink so much milk. What is milk loaded with? Cancer cells, in addition to the calcium. So therefore, it not only has the cancer cells, but it's loaded with hormones, including estrogen. So if we were to, on the flip side of that, if we were to eat broccoli, more broccoli, a cup of broccoli, right, has so much calcium in it, but it not only has calcium. The broccoli is one of the major plants, right, or food to fight cancer. It's good of you to name that component that is in the onion. But I remember a few years ago I was reading an article that was published in the scientific community, and they were talking about a substance that is in the broccoli. And the broccoli is a member of the cruciferous family, which include the Brussels sprouts, the cabbage, the cauliflower, the collard greens, and there's one more. I'm trying to remember the other one. But anyhow, it's in that family. Now, the broccoli not only has anti-cancer agent in it that can help our body defend itself against cancer, it's loaded, Dr. Henry, with fiber. One of the purposes of fiber in the food is not only to help give us good bowel movement so that when we go to the restroom or the bathroom, we can the transit time of the waste matter in our body would be 24 hours, but it also attaches itself to cholesterol and also to estrogen. This is what the fiber does, and help to eliminate excess fiber, excess cholesterol, excess estrogen out of a woman's body so that she would not have a buildup of estrogen in her breast. On the other hand, milk or other form of dairy, chicken, beef, and all of these things, even fish, gives her too much estrogen.
That's true. And as you said earlier, In many cases, women who are diagnosed with breast cancer or cancer in some of her other reproductive organs, in many cases, the problem is estrogen dominance.
Yes.
And you're also, if you're a lady that's listening, you need to understand that some other signs of estrogen dominance, they're like fibroids, things of that nature, you know, cysts, you know, these things are signs that you're going into estrogen dominance. You're really already into estrogen dominance, even when you're having menstrual cramps. You know, these are signs of estrogen dominance. And as Dr. Morgan has mentioned there, many of these things that we're eating or that you're eating are actually contributing to that estrogen and throwing that estrogen progesterone level off in your body. And not only those two, but the other hormones. And so now when the estrogen goes so high, and estrogen was put there, which is a good thing, but when you have too much of anything, it throws the body out of balance, and then you end up with some serious, serious problems. Now, Dr. Morgan, we can go on to your next article if you're ready.
Oh, okay. My next article that I read, it was about superbugs, right? How the free use or the somewhat indiscriminate use of antibiotics is causing the rise of superbugs. Well, what they mean by superbugs are bacteria or even sometimes viruses. And let's pause. Antibiotics are only good against fungus and bacterial infection. They are never supposed to be prescribed to counteract a viral infection, because viral infections are not intimidated in the least bit by antibiotics.
That's true.
So what's happening there in the medical community and in the public at large is, for example, is that when many of us go to the doctor, the doctor has been experienced with using a particular antibiotic to counteract an infection caused by fungus or bacteria. And so you walk in the doctor in the office, he does the culture and everything, he finds what the the bacterial infection is or the fungal infection is, therefore he writes you a prescription. You go to the pharmacy, you get it filled, and lo and behold, 2 weeks later, the thing is getting worse. Right? Why? Because of the indiscriminate use of these antibiotics in the growing of chickens and other livestock, including the cows. We should understand that in order for a chicken to survive that cooped-up condition, that unsanitary condition that the chickens are raised in today, they have to dose them with a lot of antibiotics in their water and in their food. Right? As a result of getting that much antibiotic, right, the dairy cows, the same thing too. The beef cattle, the same thing is happening. So as a result of feeding them that much, Dr. Henry, we are getting a lot of these antibiotics in our bodies. So therefore, when we come down with these bacterial infection or fungus infection and we go to the doctor, many a time the antibiotic is useless. So because it's useless, they are calling these bugs superbugs because they are highly resistant to well-known antibiotics.
And, you know, it's interesting when you mention this because, and you know very well that we've had, for instance, garlic as has been identified as one of, if not the best, quote, broad-spectrum antibiotic in existence. And yet it has, when used, it has basically no side effects.
That's true.
And, you know, we've talked about other, you know, other natural antibiotics. You have, of course, you have...
Golden seal is another one.
Golden seal, exactly.
Yeah, lemon kills about 23 different germs. And what we are mentioning there about garlic, golden seal, and lemon, these are not just antibiotics, right? They are antiviral also. So they kill all three groups.
That's right.
While antibiotics only kill two groups, right?
That's right.
So they are
they kill
more
that
powerful.
Third, which is the viral.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And also, you have, it shifts me right now, olive leaf extract. You also have
tea tree oil is another one.
Tea tree oil is another one. I've had a lot of success with tea tree oil. And there's another one, and it's slipping
Echinacea
right now. Echinacea
is another one.
And, you know, and it's interesting that, as you mentioned, here you have all of these natural ways to destroy viruses and bacteria and all these microbes.
Sorry. Excuse my bad habit. Your favorite that you
I didn't hear you. I mean, you were breaking up a little bit. Can you repeat that?
No, sorry. One of your favorite that you've thought about swine flu that is so effective against swine flu, the elderberry.
Oh right? Yeah, that's right, the elderberry. Yes, yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you know, it was interesting. I had a niece who was going. She was going out of the country. And it was during the time of this swine flu epidemic, and you know how they were, if you had any of these flu symptoms in certain areas, they weren't letting you go.
Right.
And so her mother called and she said, you know, hey, do you guys have anything? You know, we're leaving tomorrow, and we're afraid that if this thing is not cleared up by tomorrow, she's not going to be able to get on the plane. And so we recommended the elderberry, and they had either gotten some from us before, or maybe they went to the health food store and got some. We recommended to her to take copious amounts of that elderberry tea. And at the time, her daughter had a burning fever. She was very, very sick. She was, you know, she didn't want to do anything but sleep. And from the time she had taken a couple of cups of that elderberry, by the next morning, she was back about 80%.
Oh, definitely. Wonderful.
Now, and guess what? There were no side effects. There was no toxicity to the liver, no toxicity to the kidneys, no toxicity to any of the organs. And she won't have to worry about any of those drugs accumulating in her liver and coming up being a problem later on in life, because we give the liver, as we've talked about before, we give the liver enough to do as it is without having to detoxify unnecessarily with any other thing that we can put in the body that will place an additional burden upon it. We have to take a break here. We have about 17 minutes left. If you wish to call in, the guest call-in number is 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. We realize that some people are embarrassed to call in and to talk. So we also have the chat up. I still see a couple of people on the chat. We will be right back after this message talking about, we have again maybe another 15 or so minutes. We'll be right back after this brief message. Don't go away. Stay with us so you can hear the last part of this interesting conversation.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening in with us this evening. This is Keith Henry, your host, and also Dr. Orette Morgan, your host as well. We're talking tonight about some of the articles that have come up have come out in the natural news, I guess you could say, world, and not only natural news world, but some of these articles have come out in the mainstream media, like the one that Dr. Morgan mentioned about the superbugs. And, you know, these, from time to time, we hear about these antibiotics becoming basically useless in the fight against these, quote, superbugs. And, you know, we, as you mentioned earlier, we wonder why, you know, we come down with a cold or we come down with something, we go and we get an antibiotic. And not only that, one thing that we didn't mention was that, you know, when you use antibiotics a lot, as with other drugs, they cause a lot of problems. I've come to know that women who use antibiotics, they tend to have, who use lots of antibiotics, tend to have other issues when it comes to urinary tract infections and some other thing. They tend to have an increased risk of these infections. Dr. Morgan, I have an article which is close to the one that you mentioned in terms of being about pharmaceutical drugs, and it is entitled "Pharmaceutical Drugs Causing a Spike in Diseases They Supposedly Treat," and again, this one is again found on naturalnews.com. And it was from yesterday, April 9th. And it starts off, and they're writing about a report that was reported in a piece in U.S. News and World Report. And it says, a recent U.S. News and World Report piece highlights new studies that point to serious problems down the road for the over-medicated population. According to reports, more than 60% of American adults now take at least one drug every day for a chronic health problem. And more than half of seniors take at least three medications every day. But the end result is more diseases like diabetes, heart disease, obesity, arthritis, and cancer. Now, let me pause here for a second. We're taking more medications than ever. And yet, we're seeing more diseases like diabetes, like heart disease, obesity, arthritis, and cancer, according to the article. Now, you know, Dr. Morgan, there's always, or for a long time, there's been a controversy between natural practitioners and allopathic practitioners. And where I'm going with this basically is, in order to, some years ago back in this country, in order to bring disrepute upon natural practitioners, it was a decided campaign was commenced against them, and one of the terms that was used, a derogatory term that was used against natural practitioners, homeopaths, naturopaths, whatever you want to call them, and with the different areas of natural medicine. But the war was specifically against homeopaths and naturopaths and even chiropractors, and they were called quacks. Now, the chief of the AMA back in the day, I think his name was Morris Fishburne. He had a decided war against anything natural, and his whole ideology was to promote drug medicine, allopathic medicine. What's interesting about it, when you look at the history behind Fishburne, is he never practiced a day of medicine in his life, even though he was an MD. So he was attacking natural medicine, calling it quackery. So now, when I say, and he created, the term that he used to define quackery was one who pretends to medical skill which he does not possess. One who pretends to medical skill which he does not possess. So if we take his definition, and if we take this article, pharmaceutical drugs causing spike in diseases they supposedly treat, and also we take what you pointed out earlier about, you know, the hospitals and 275,000 people a year die by doctor's mistakes, drugs, hospital mistakes. And if you take that into consideration in comparison with the number of people that have been killed by natural practitioners, which can be counted on one hand, and you say, okay, if you take his definition by those who are pretending to medical skill, which they do not possess. And I'll leave the listeners to decide who is the quack based upon, or which system is more closely aligned with quackery based upon Mr. Fishburne's definition. If you have a system that is, you know, victimizing, and again, let me say, as we've said before, we're not saying that it's that all allopathic medicine is bad. We're not saying that it's not is sometimes it might not be necessary to get surgery, and sometimes it's necessary to use drugs in some cases for a short amount of time. So, I mean, we're not saying that's between you and your doctor or to you and your family what decision that you choose to make. What we are saying is that you need to understand the risk and reward, for lack of a better term, that's involved when you compare natural medicine to allopathic medicine. And you also need to understand that the science behind natural medicine and not be so easily swept away by what many times is junk science behind these pills. Now, this article went on to say, Dr. Morgan, it says that while some disease rates have declined over the years, many others have rapidly increased in their place, even though a lot more people take pharmaceutical drugs than they used to. And it went on to say that most of the approved drugs on the market today are backed by studies very limited in scope. Besides having been manipulated to show favorable results, most studies evaluate the effects of drugs on a very limited cross-section of people with isolated illness symptoms and for a very short period of time. Little, if any, consideration is given to the long-term effects of such drugs on a wide spectrum of diverse people. Finally, the article went on to point out, saying, quote, another major problem is off-label prescription practices in which doctors prescribe drugs for conditions the drugs were not meant to treat. And drug companies themselves play a major role in making this happen by literally paying doctors to recommend certain drugs to their patients, even if the drugs are unnecessary. And the very last paragraph of the article, the author went on to say, and even giving the drugs to them for free if necessary. And then he says a great example of this was identified in a government report back in March that found that 22% of Massachusetts nursing home residents had been prescribed antipsychotic medications for conditions that they did not have. And then he says some experts are calling on regulatory reform to end the cozy relationship between agencies like the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and drug companies, which many now recognize are a primary cause of the problem.
Hold it, Dr. Henry. Did you say Massachusetts?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you know, you just struck a nerve right there in my body, and you might wonder why. Because our present health care, right, that was a law that was signed, program that was signed into law, about a year ago, is supposedly modeled after the Massachusetts program. Now,
that's
why
true.
Am I saying that?
That's true.
Because there's a key factor there, listening to what you said and analyzing things in my head, that once you have people who are more likely to be exposed to the use of drugs, prescribed drugs, then the doctors are at more liberty to give them a prescription, write them a prescription. If you walk into the doctor's office and you only have limited amount of money to spend, and it's so limited that, well, you might only be able to, after you pay the doctor for the visit, you might only be able to buy one prescription medication. The doctor is not going to write you two or three prescription medications.
That's true. That's true.
Why? Because he knows you can't pay for it. But once you have insurance, and that's where the problem is, medical insurance is good to have, but it has been abused by the medical industry, especially the pharmaceutical industry. And if you notice, they kept very quiet during the last healthcare debate. Because why? They were smiling because they know just the same thing that happened in Massachusetts, where 22% of nursing home residents, right, were prescribed psychotic medication. It will be the same and worse for the entire country once we have, once this health care, so-called health care reform bill goes into effect, right, law goes into effect. And so the drug companies are smiling under the quiet. But, you know, it goes back to what you said there. And I was smiling while you were talking about this whole issue about quackery. You know, you use the word junk science. Let me ask you something. If somebody, if you had to, if you had a, say, a muddy area in front of your house, and you don't know what causes it, or you have an idea, but you're not certain, and you call two plumbers. And one come and he said, the first one said, listen, you know what? The one who came, the first one, he has been to whatever plumbing school, one of the, you know, most prestigious plumbing school and whatever, and you name it. He brings out a lot of certificates and show you and whatever and said, okay, I'm from so-and-so. I once worked at Harvard or Yale doing plumbing and whatever. And he said, you know, this is simple. What I'll do, I'll dump a wheelbarrow of dirt over this muddy area. And next month I'll come back and check on it again. And the following month I'll keep checking to see how things are going on. And whenever needs be, I'll just dump a wheelbarrow or two of dirt over it. You would shake your head, Dr. Henry, wouldn't you?
So there's another
plumber who comes along and said, okay, sir, I don't have those credentials. But your problem, to solve this problem, give me some time to find the cause of the problem. I suspect there's a leaking pipe somewhere here, right? You know, it will take me a little while because it's not as easy to dump a wheelbarrow of dirt over it as your other credentialed plumber says, right? But I didn't go to that big school, but I went to a plumbing school. You know, it's not prestigious like his. So he said, I will have to find where the leak is, dig up that where that leak is, mend the pipe there, and then I will dump a wheelbarrow of dirt over it. And by the way, this pipe is leaking because your children keep riding their bikes over the pipe. Let me also bury the pipe underneath the ground so when they ride, they won't be putting pressure on the pipe. Which one of those plumbers would you use? The one from the big name school like Harvard or Yale, or the one that really isn't from no big name school, but what he says makes sense? Which one of them would you hire to do the job?
Of course, the guy from the smaller school, because it's evident that he knows what he's doing and he knows what he's talking about, and the other guy is simply riding on the merits of a certificate or a degree.
Well, you've been just introduced to how we practice medicine today, right? Medicine in the allopathic community, right, is not practiced from finding the cause of the underlying problem. It's just like that plumber, right, write a prescription, right, and supposed to take care of the problem, right? You know, in the natural community, in the naturopathic community, we will sit a person down and we'll say, okay, let's deal with the underlying cause. Let's see what you're eating. Let's see if you're taking any exercise or adequate exercise. Let's see how much sleep you're getting. What's your stress level like? And the whole nine yards, right?
That's
it won't
right.
take 5 minutes, but at least when they leave our office, right, we are confident that we've put the right things into place to help correct the problem.
That's right. And you know, and we're working with a system that's proven to work. It's been proven to work time and time and time again. And we're down to about a minute left in the show. We thank you for listening in, and we'll be back next Sunday. We also will probably be back on Wednesday. We're just trying to get, because the show is relatively new, we're trying to make sure that we get down the things that our listeners want to hear, the times we're looking at. Right now we're on Wednesdays and Sundays. And here we have just about 45 seconds left. So if you're listening in, we invite you to listen, to call in, to chat, to let other people know about this radio station, because we have had about 3,000 listeners so far overall. And you know, and we're intending through promotion and whatnot to get more and more listeners. We want to get up, you know, in the hundreds of thousands if possible. And because this information needs to get out, and it will get out. And we would like to also remind you that on Wednesdays we talk about a particular issue specifically, or a particular herb or supplement. And on Sundays we talk about the news of the week, of the previous week. And so we thank you for listening. We're almost out of time. Visit us again, and we hope and pray that you will have a good week. And thank you, Dr. Morgan, for being with us again, and we look forward to being with you the next time.
Thank you. God bless you.